Hi guys, welcome to Chosen Voices, a podcast created by Chosen Vessels seeking to encourage, equip, and empower leaders in ministry around the globe. I'm your host, Becca Baxter, and this is Chosen Voices. Today on the podcast, we have Matthew Johnson. Matthew has served on the board of directors since 2016. We thought it'd be really important to let you guys know what COVID-19 has done to CV, how it's affected the way we do day-to-day operations, and the way we're looking at the future. Matthew is a great person to have this conversation with, as he has served since the beginning in various ways. Here's my conversation with Matthew Johnson.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Becca.
Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
So would you take a second and introduce yourself and just kind of share how you're connected to CV, why you're here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Matthew Johnson, and I've known Becca for several years now. And back in March of 2016, she asked me to join her newly found a nonprofit as a board member. So I've sat on the Chosen Vessels board of directors since 2016 as the treasurer. And it has been a great journey and experience as we've continued to grow and expand.
Mm-hmm. And you've gotten roped into a lot of other things besides just being the treasurer serving on our board. So what are some of the things that you've been involved with CV outside of just sitting on the board? You've served in a lot of different areas of this too.
Yeah, it's been great. Last summer, July of 2019, I got to travel with the team to Romania for summer camp. It was a great experience to be part of an opportunity, one of the outreach group or programs that Chosen Vessels does, and to meet some of the leaders in person over in Romania that serve throughout the year. And that was just a really cool experience to meet the communities that we serve. And I was supposed to go to Ghana in April, but obviously that got canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. But I was super excited to meet Pastor Harry and his team. You've heard from him in a couple of podcasts ago, and just an incredible story. So looking forward to meeting him with the next opportunity that we're able to go to Ghana. And then also just, you know, being a part of some fundraisers and outreach here in the States is really exciting. There's a committee of us that have planned and executed a movie night where we hosted a movie in a field and raised support that way, and several different other, fundraisers and support raising events that we've gotten to be a part of. And just bouncing ideas off of Becca is always fun. She's got a head full of ideas, and a lot of them are coming to fruition. Some of them will come to fruition in the future, and but always good to hear what she's thinking and what she's got going on.
And you have been behind the scenes for a lot of things. Since 2016, you've seen a lot of different sides of what we're doing, and you're someone that I often bounce my ideas off first, so you get all the ideas, which people often say the scariest thing that I can say to them is, I have an idea. So how have you seen things shift with CV in the last 4 years?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've seen, obviously, a lot of growth. When I first started, I think Romania was really the one sounding board, and Ghana was at its heels. And now we really see Romania and Ghana as our two biggest outreach areas. But beyond that, we've seen expansion. And you've talked about expansion a lot, and we've seen some of the leaders from Romania and Ghana go other places. And I know we've got contacts in Cuba and Cambodia, and looking in Indonesia, and do have contacts in Indonesia. So it's really exciting to see, over the course of just 4 years, with such a small team. I mean, the staff is really just Becca, and we've got a few people that assist her and interns, but 24/7 is Becca Baxter kind of going at it. So it's really cool to see how much expansion you've had over the past 4 years, and just even the support team here in the States, as more people hear about what you're doing and what Chosen Vessels is accomplishing and spreading. We've gotten our support team and donors has gone up, as well as support for people that want to travel and meet our leaders and support our leaders and be a part of what Chosen Vessels is doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So obviously this year looks a lot different than we thought it would. It does for everybody in the world, which is kind of a neat mutual experience that we're all having. But like you said, you were supposed to go to Ghana in April. And then we thought maybe we might go to Ghana this summer. And then we thought, we had hopes for things to shift, but it really looked like 2020 was going to be the biggest travel year for CV ever. But instead, we've kind of had to pivot a little bit. And so you've been a part of some of our things that we've shifted with prayer calls with our leaders and kind of keeping updates. So I wanted to talk through each of those places and what it's looked like for them on the ground. So,
absolutely.
Starting in Ghana, we talked about Pastor Harry with his ministry. Well, first of all, at some point in this whole season, everyone has been under quarantine lockdown, and it's looked different in various locations. I'm sure people have seen, you know, news articles from Italy and France, and so, you know, they are recognizing that a lot of places are under or have been under scrutiny to lock down completely and been in their homes. And it was much like that in Romania. They had to have permission slips to leave, and so programs ceased. Outside of those programs using in Romania, we saw, we had the opportunity to respond with Schwar for feeding programs for the students that we support at the kindergarten to make sure they were still receiving food, because the kindergarten is where they receive their major meal for the day. And so we also in Ghana, things had to cease as well. But what are some things that you've picked on, even in your correspondence with leaders or talking about, what are some things that it seems like they're doing and how they've responded to the COVID-19 pandemic?
So, yeah, first of all, I just think it's really great how well connected Chosen Vessels has been able to stay with all of our leaders across the globe. Like, thanks for technology and then the ability to do that, and also for the support from our donors and teams to be able to financially help and also help with content. As our leaders continue to innovate in their own ways in various countries to provide, you know, the spread of the gospel and the leadership that they have had over the past few years. And so I love how we've seen in Romania, Casey Bloom continuing to meet with groups and small continue to see Casey Bloom meet with groups virtually. And in Ghana, to see Pastor Harry and his team start to meet again in a smaller setting, and just take those extra precautions, but still committed and determined throughout all of this, not viewing it as a setback, but viewing it as a new opportunity to learn new ways to reach out to those that are in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And technology is such a gift. I can't imagine having gone through this last season without things like Zoom or Facebook Messenger. And
what had to wait for your letters to get over there.
Yeah. So it's really neat to see how we've been able to, what I think is, create more sustainable programming for CV through this. And so while before we were doing things like member care and leader care meetings, and we were meeting individually with people, we started responding in a way that we did prayer meetings twice a week, where we invited any leader that we support to join. And some weeks there's more than others, but it's created this organizational type community amongst all of us. So, and I think that's really neat. And we've increased our member care meetings, obviously, with people just in the beginning reaching out and wanting to connect. And we're all looking for connection because we all feel a little isolated, I think. I think that's a shared feeling around the globe. But, and so going forward, I think really great things have come out of the season, even though it's been really hard and really challenging for many that we serve and also for us as an organization. I think that really great things have come out of it too, like the podcast. So
yeah, absolutely. And these are things, like you said, that'll continue even when we're able to travel again, continue operations as normal. These great new innovations that you've come up with and implemented will become part of the new operations. And mm-hmm. It's going to be really great to see how it works in conjunction with being able to have boots on the ground and be with our leaders in person too.
Absolutely. And that's one of the best things about this, is being face-to-face with them. So it's hard to be apart. But so we, three new things that we started offering during this season and trying to see how they would work were pre-field training. We started doing pre-field training for a couple individuals that were planning to go long-term to serve missionaries on the ground. Not necessarily going in conjunction with us, but providing that training service. We have amped up our member care services, and so those are happening weekly, biweekly, and monthly with different groups of people. We've also started offering missions debriefing, which we obviously do with our own teams when they come home, but offering that as a public service for those that are going and coming back and may need someone to reach out for support. So those are kind of the three major things, sessions that we're now offering that we have opened up to the public. On top of that, we started the podcast. We've started women's Bible studies for all of our leaders. No matter where they are, they can join together. And that's been a really neat experience, as well as our leader prayer calls, where our board members are invited to join to pray. And we all just pray together. We've prayed for the world as it's yearning for hope right now. And we've also prayed for each other. And it's really neat.
Yeah, I definitely view it as kind of closing the gap. You know, the miles seem even less than they did before, and being able to see these people and talk with them, while it might not be face-to-face in person, it's face-to-face virtually, and it kind of closes the gap and makes everything and everyone seem a little closer and more connected. And it's really cool to see the various leaders that Chosen Vessel supports get to really meet each other and come together via these Bible studies and prayer time and other means, kind of makes the Chosen Vessel community seem even tighter and closer knit than it was before.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So a couple weeks ago, our board met and we had to make some decisions for the fall. And so that was such an interesting conversation because we still have no answers to lots of things. But what did we walk away with kind of as our deciding factor of what the fall is going to look like, what we're going to pursue this fall?
Yeah, I think we had a long discussion about it and you know, various opinions and input from, just like we said, there's no universal sole source of answers, and no one knows what, you know, October, November might look like yet. But I think we walked away with all agreeing that, you know, we need to be expectant and hopeful, that we need to plan appropriately now and start planning for, if that is an opportunity, how do we seize it? And just be prayerful and hopeful that it is going to be an opportunity, that we do get to send a team over. And we did agree that it would have to be a small team, and, you know, different precautions need to be taken. And obviously guidelines follow very closely from various sources. But it is something I think we need to begin planning for, and both logistically, what does it look like to get on a plane, to travel, be in another country, what do quarantines and isolation look like? How do these communities receive Americans coming during this pandemic? And then also, you know, planning faithfully, what does the Lord want us to do? What are the goals if we do travel in the fall? What will we accomplish? And that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And those are important conversations that we've been having in the background for months now, what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
So to have it formally in a board meeting was time. So that is kind of what COVID-19 has done for 4CV and 2CV and 4 into our leaders. But I wanted to ask you a few more questions about your perception of CV.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your favorite part about serving with CV? Because obviously you like it at least somewhat, and because you've been around for 4 years. What's your favorite part of serving with CV?
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing about serving with CV is just seeing the growth and getting to be a part of an idea you've had for, I mean, since you were, you know, much younger, a teenager, getting to be a part of seeing that, you know, really formalize and start in 2016 and continue to grow. To hear about the dreams you have for it in the future and what you want to see Chosen Vessels become and accomplish is a really exciting thing. And it's probably my favorite thing to look at and think about. Also, just, you know, I love to get to know people across the globe. I'm getting to know Pastor Harry and Adele and Casey and so many other leaders. Has been really cool to just see how the ministry looks different in different areas of the globe and how it looks the same and how we are, you know, one people under God, and then see how culture affects different perceptions of and different means of spreading the word is really cool, and getting to be a part of that and learn and just to realize how many awesome people are out there and the connections that we've made that Chosen Vessels is continuing to make. I was really, you know, I really enjoy being a part of that.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned about God serving with CV?
Yeah, I think if anything, of the many things mm-hmm. that I've learned about God, I think his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, from minor things that have happened in CV, like travel delays and how he's provided and making sure supplies get to appropriate places in time. And seeing how that's all worked together for good in the end, even though in the midst of it, it seemed crazy and hectic. To other things like just seeing how fast he's allowed Chosen Vessels to grow and the various leaders he's planted. Just take, for example, Victoria coming from Ghana and Becca meeting her in Ghana and her connection to Chosen Vessels starting in Ghana, but then her moving to Cuba to continue to serve and allowing Chosen Vessels to continue to encourage and equip and empower her in Cuba. It's just amazing to see. Who would have thought she would have ended up in Cuba, but here she is, and here we are getting a chance to serve in a place that we wouldn't have maybe sought out to begin with, but the Lord's provided it and has been faithful to allowing Chosen Vessels to continue to be effective there.
Yeah. What's been your favorite moment serving with CV so far?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of them. I definitely think, it was 3 years I've been hearing about and connected with Chosen Vessels and many more years of friendship with Becca that I've been hearing about Chosen Vessels and her dreams. And I think in 2019 in July, getting to go to Romania and meet in person and be a part of a trip, an opportunity like that was really incredible to meet Casey and Magda and Adela. And to serve alongside them and to meet various other leaders and the kids from Sword and Sea Shore was just an incredible experience. And it kind of just drove home what we do back here in the States with all the planning and the fundraising and the support, outreach, and now all of these new innovative ways of reaching out is drove home why we do it and why it's necessary. But then also, like we've mentioned so many times, how great our leaders are, that we get the support and how loving and incredible they are. Mm-hmm. So
there's one more thing I want to ask you about, and then I'll ask you what you want to add in. And this is going to be a huge shift, but it's kind of an important tidbit I think you and I could talk about. So you and I are really good friends outside of serving together. and so we have, since the beginning of our friendship, had to balance a service work relationship and a friendship. And I think that that is something really unique about our friendship is that we have accomplished some big tasks, like Martha Palooza planned for the largest event at Bay Area together. And served with CV together. And we also maintain a friendship outside of that. And so what would you say to people that have friendship lines that are crossed with working and serving together? How do you maintain those friendships in healthy ways?
Yeah, it can definitely be a challenge. It's important to set up those, boundaries or barriers and separate, the service and work life from your friendship. Obviously, there's going to be times where it intersects, especially when the service is such a passion for one. But I think you can't compromise your opinion in a work or service relationship to satisfy a friendship relationship, right? So there are definitely times where we disagree on something, and I think maybe our opinions are obviously sometimes different. And to just settle and tend to agree for the sake of a friendship, but to harm the work is not good. Mm-hmm. But also to be too critical and time of friendship or work related. So it is a fine balance. Mm-hmm. But I would just say you got to be open and talk about it. It can't be something you just kind of assume is going to settle itself. So it needs to be an ongoing discussion and also an understanding that there is a difference between work opinions and then personal opinions and friendships. But at the same time, I think it's been a really great experience. I think it strengthens both our friendship and our work relationship. And you're a fun person to be co-workers with and a great person to be a friend with. I think it's things like, I think it's rare that I will just outright say no to something. I think it's a lot about asking questions and really trying to understand a perspective and then also offering your honest opinion and both parties understanding that it's not personal. It just is from, different experiences and different opinions. They can coexist for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Yeah, there's a level of mutual respect and humility and communication that is required for that. And yeah, I just think about you and I, we have been in many stressful meetings before in our lives, and we leave and often change the subject when we leave right away. You don't want to carry that into whatever's next. And so, but being willing to have those hard conversations and being willing to sit through communication is.
Yeah, definitely. You know. Definitely. It's a huge part of it. Yeah.
But it's also really great serving with your friends because yes. you get to know them in different ways. And yeah, but people definitely need to realize that there are strains that you have to be willing to figure out what works for you in those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked a lot about, you know, how much Chosen Vessels has grown in the past 4 years and how it's been a passion for you for so long. And I know in the first podcast, we kind of talked about how it became a podcast, or I mean, we didn't talk, but you know, we're talking about how it became a passion of yours and that story. But, you know, where do you see, as we continue to grow, where do you see Chosen Vessels in maybe 5 or maybe 10 years? Kind of where do you see it going?
Yeah. You know, I, as well as our team, we are committed to being faithful to the Lord first. And so that is the first goal, is to follow where He leads and opens the door. And so, like you're saying, with, you know, for example, Victoria moving to Cuba, we would have never thought we would have been in Cuba, you know, 2 years later when she moved to go to medical school. And so really being faithful, one, to continue to steward the relationships God's entrusted to us in Romania and Ghana. I love them dearly, and so I want to steward those friendships well and also do whatever we can as an organization to support what they're doing. And so really in the next 5 to 10 years, being open to wherever God is opening the door for people that have needs and want to be supported and cared for. And if we have the resources to do that, to match that and to walk into that place faithfully. And so, you know, obviously I hope to see a staff grow. I hope we continue growing our staff. I hope we can continue growing our support base, but really being willing to be faithful and obedient and go into the places that He opens those doors. Whether that's in a completely new place or bridged off of leaders we currently already serve or whatever that looks like, but being willing and faithful to discern how to go about that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things about your outlook in the future, is because when I think back to our conversations and our prayer time together, we've never discussed, you know, specifically Cuba or specifically Cambodia. I mean, there have been some locations that we specifically prayed for to become part of the Chosen Vessels umbrella, but also always leaving it open-ended to where God will lead us. And it's so exciting to see when you leave your heart open to where He wants you to serve and where He wants you to spend resources. And those places come, and that's, you know, like we discussed, obviously where Cuba and Cambodia kind of come to the forefront too now, and it's just exciting to see, you know, how well Chosen Vessels as an organization has been, you know, how well it's been, you've set it up to accomplish those, to be able to transition easily into those places as we continue to encourage our leaders there. And I'm so excited for, you know, the leaders that have chosen to travel and move to these other locations. And I'm glad that Chosen Vessels can support them. So something that was so exciting for me to see during this COVID season and really gave me encouragement and you know, just positivity was the virtual 5K that we hosted. Mm-hmm. And I remember the idea of popping in your head in April and us discussing it and how quickly you put legs on it and got it running and up. And I think the coolest thing about that day was just to see not only our support team in America coming together to help raise support and be a part of something and be, you know, this community of we're doing this together, but also see leaders across the globe doing it, to see Pastor Harry's team and our leaders in Romania, you know, get out there and do the 5K was just really cool for me to see. How did it make you feel to see, like, you know, your support team and leaders coming together all at once?
It was really neat. It was to see, well, in this season, I feel like we were all yearning for connection. At least I was. I was wanting community. I wanted to be a part of something. And because everything's canceled, there was not a lot of things to be a part of. And so for on that day, for people, and people walked it all day long. So for people to send in videos and post about it hours throughout the day was so neat to create this collective community of people that we serve, people that serve with us. We had volunteers that have gone on trips that participated, donors participated, to create this collective CV community that was just going to go out and walk together. Some walked, some ran. You and I walked for 24 hours every hour on the hour, and that was crazy. But
never again. Maybe one more time.
We watched a lot of Harry Potter, but it was incredible to see the global community that we pursue and that we love and love being a part of, to see them come together on one day all together was really neat.
Yeah, it was so awesome, and I definitely hope we get to do it again. I hope that's one of the things that we talked about, becoming a new norm in our day-to-day operations, even when the pandemic is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know me, you know I love food, and I love to eat. So what are things, let's see, what are your favorite dishes in Romania and Ghana? Because I know those are the two places you travel to the most. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us what they are and describe mm-hmm. them for us?
Yep. So in Romania, it is the most incredible dessert in the whole world. And it is so cool that you're asking me this while I have no taste or smell because, anyways. So, but my favorite dessert in Romania is called papanaș, and it is a donut. So it's a homemade fried donut that has it's like a sour cream, but it's not like sour cream here. It's different. There's a wonderful cream on it, and then usually it's like a forest fruit jam, a currant jam, blueberry, blackberry. It can be whatever, but they put the jam on top of it, and the donut's warm, and oh my gosh, it's so good. And actually, my friend Casey sent me a picture of one yesterday, and I was so jealous. It is so yummy. So
you ever tried to make it yourself?
Yes, I have, and I made it with my friends in Romania, and it was delicious, but I need to make it on my own here. But it's just different. The ingredients are different. It tastes different. And so
it's all in the water.
It's all in the water. It is. So that is probably my favorite thing in Romania. In Ghana, there are two things that come to mind. One is fan ice, which is ice cream, but it's in a baggie. And so you like bite the end of the baggie off. And it is the sweetest, best vanilla ice cream in the world. It is so good. So, so good. And it is so hot in Ghana. And so something cold is just amazing. And then its actual meal is jollof rice, which you can get. It's actually a traditional African dish for many countries. But in Ghana, it's this spicy rice that is so yummy. And I've tried to make it a couple times at home. And it is not the same. But yes, those are my favorite dishes from those two places. Yeah, so
that's awesome. That's awesome. I can't wait to try those dishes in Ghana. I know the papanaș is good.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal favorite dinner in Romania was chicken schnitzel, which, as most people probably know, is just fried chicken, but it is very good
so
there.
Good. So good. Their pastas are great. Their soups are great. Romanian food is so good. Mm. It is so yummy.
Hopefully this fall you get to go back and try some more.
I hope so, because when I went in March and I was there for 24 hours, I didn't even get to eat papanaș. So I've been in withdrawal from that. So, but yeah.
Can you tell us something about that when you were going for 24? You haven't talked about that yet.
I haven't, but I will.
Okay. You want me to rephrase that?
No, that's fine. We'll just go with it like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was supposed to go to Romania. Well, I did go to Romania in March and was going for a leader care trip. And I landed there, which the pandemic had just started picking up. This is like the first week of March, I think, or second week of March, either right around there. And the pandemic is just ramping up around the globe. Europe has not closed yet at this point. It's still the perception that it's, you know, primarily the hotspot is in Asia still. It had not moved from Wuhan yet, but the epidemic center had not moved. The epicenter of the pandemic, whatever the terminology is. It had not moved yet to Europe.
It all runs together after reading some of the articles on it.
Yep. So I got on a plane. I just decided, hey, I'm going to go. It'll be fine. And it was, but it was an adventure. And so I went and was staying with my friend Casey. And I'd been there for like 24 hours and I had gone to go to bed and I just could not sleep. I have no idea why. Now I think it's the Lord, but I could not sleep. And it was around 3 a.m. in Romania and I had not fallen asleep yet. And all of a sudden my phone just started blowing up and I was like, oh no. And I automatically started thinking the worst because when it's the middle of the night and thankfully, my husband and my mom are pretty good about not texting me when it's the middle of the night there because I wake up very easily, and so it's very unusual. So my phone started blowing up, and I picked up the phone, and my sweet husband, who has grown a lot with talking to me about things like this, he said very calm, "Hey, you probably need to try to come home." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, there's about to be a travel ban, and it's enacting in 24 hours, so you need to figure out how to get home." And at the time, it was not clear whether U.S. citizens were going to be allowed back home. It was not clear what that was going to look like, so really I had to act quickly. So as I am sitting there, I'm also thinking, okay, I'm going to have to wake up my friend Casey and ask her to drive me to the airport. Where am I going to get a flight out? And so I started looking, and airports started closing in Romania. And so they are canceling flights left and right for the next morning. And so I find a flight that is out of Bucharest, which is not near City Shore at all. It's like over five hours, depending on traffic. It can be 5 hours, 9 hours, whatever. And so I think the fear around this whole scenario was that everything was so unknown. We didn't know what it was going to be like when we got to the airport. I didn't know if I was going to have an anxious fever. I had no idea, you know, and how that would affect things. And so Casey, in all of her kindness, drives me to the airport, and I get on a plane and make it to Heathrow. So I don't even pick a normal travel route. I'm just trying to get out to get home and come home and have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And so I actually think I was kind of on the front end for the quarantine thing, because I had come home and I was quarantined in a room by myself. And while I was quarantined is when things started closing in the States. And within 10 hours of leaving from Romania, Europe was now seen as the new epicenter of the pandemic. So it was a very quick return home, surrounded by a lot of fear and a little bit of anxiety, but made it back. But missed out on time with friends, which really sucks.
Yeah, it must have been tough to miss out on time with Casey. And, you know, not only did you miss out on time with Casey, you had to come back and be isolated for 14 days, right? But yeah, definitely a crazy, crazy time. But it is, you know, was necessary to get you back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And after that, flights closed left and right, and who knows when it would have, you know. Yeah,
you could still be
there. I could still be there.
Which would have been great, but it's good to have you home.
Yeah.
And a lot of good has come from you being home, too, so.
Yeah. I learned a lot in that isolation quarantine time, too. I was really frustrated because I felt like I was having experience that no one else had experienced yet. Little did we know that everyone would experience a feeling of that type of isolation, but being alone and having to think, okay, what is the goal of this season? And so actually another podcast that I listened to by Annie F. Downs, she said on her podcast, it was like the second day I was quarantined. She said she had also been quarantined. She'd been exposed to coronavirus. And she said, what if our goal was to just be healthier on the other side of this, whether that's spiritually or physically or whatever it is, what if that was just our goal? That was our standard. And so realizing in the beginning that this, while it was going to be a really hard season, I had no idea how hard it was going to be over the next couple months for friends and for organizations and work and family, and everyone's felt the ripple effects of this, but thinking, what are some things we can put in place to be healthier at the end? And so like you and I have gone on more walks than I think I've ever been on in my neighborhood. So I started meeting my neighbors. I said, you know, and so realizing that that there is such good that can come out of hard seasons, and it makes me excited for the next season too.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice, you know, just to be mindful of things that you can, you know, spend some more time thinking about or working on that you normally would, you know, forget about in the day-to-day busyness that we normally face. And when things just slow down like that, it's a great time. Mm-hmm. I think it's great advice. And I know things are starting to pick up now, but it's definitely something you can still keep on the forefront of your mind.
Yeah. What's something you're taking out of this season that you've learned that you're really wanting to hold in the next season too?
Yeah, I think something, you know, it might seem small when I say, but like just structure in a day, I think is important mm-hmm. for me, and to know how much I lean on you know, a routine to how much I rely on a routine to stay healthy in all realms of my life. I think just between spiritual, mental, and physical health, a routine is important to me. And while I do love to be spontaneous and then for things to, you know, I do my best to go with the flow. It is tough to be, you know, kind of in this new unknown and to not have answers and to kind of be living life day by day. But to me, a routine is very important to make sure, you know, I'm staying healthy spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Yeah, that's good. I feel that too. I thrive on routine. Oh, thanks to the Enneagram. I know that about myself. Okay. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
No, I'm just so thankful to be a part of Chosen Vessels in general, and I'm a big fan to be a part of this podcast and be kind of what the podcast is, you know. A big fan of who all has been on the podcast so far, and I'm excited to continue to see what content you're able to spread through it. Thankful for all you do and for Chosen Vessels and all Chosen Vessels does for all the leaders around the globe. I just love it.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I'm really glad that you could join me today because you see all sides of what CV looks like. And so, thank you so much. And thank you for serving CV for the last 4 years, not just on our board, but serving to raise funds, to go and being willing to go, and also just serving as a support to me in life and in ministry. So I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. It's been a great journey so far, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Thank you.